Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. That's right. My name is Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born talent events. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. I just want to thank everybody for tuning back in. This is a milestone for Diamonds in the Rough and for me. This is 8 years of doing my online broadcast, reaching over 10,000 in listenerships, all due to you for listening, for supporting, for sharing this information, for sharing the show, and letting somebody else listen. And it has truly been an honor, and it has been just a blessing to be able to come to you through this platform. And I just want to thank everybody for supporting Diamonds in the Rough Talk to Me Radio. Celebrating anniversaries. All right, now, you know that I cannot go further without getting into the scriptures. And so I want to do that because we have an awesome lineup today of who is going to be gracing this show on today. So I want to get into the scriptures. We're talking about celebrating. And in the Bible, there are times of celebration. If you are familiar with reading the Bible, there are times of celebration. So I'm going to read to you one scripture, Nehemiah 12 and 27. It says, "For the dedication of the new wall of Jerusalem, the Levites throughout the land were asked to come to Jerusalem to assist in the ceremony." So we know that God wants us to celebrate. There's a season for everything that we talk about that's mentioned in Ecclesiastes, a time to mourn, a time to live, a time to die, a time to cry, a time for everything. And there's no season under the sun that the Lord has not known about or is aware of that is going on in our lives. And so today I celebrate you for whatever milestone that you have accomplished thus far in your life, whether it be abstaining from certain things or withholding from doing certain things that might have not been productive in your life, whether it is marriage, whether it is in your business, as an entrepreneur, as a singer, an artist, whatever it is that you have done, I just want to congratulate you. If no one else has said it, and we appreciate all the things that you have done, whoever you might be that are making changes of progress and trying to help someone else in your life, in your family, or your community. Definitely, it has been a true trial and test in this journey. It has not been easy, and people see all the finished product. They see the things that you have accomplished, but behind every accomplishment, there is always going to be some kind of test that you must go through and that you must pass in order to bring you to a place of accomplishment. And so I don't count it, you know, a small thing, because I know just how much I have struggled and sacrificed to make this possible. And I want to give you a little bit more understanding. I'm going to read to you about milestones coming from 1 Samuel 7:12. It says, "Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshana. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, 'Up to this point, the Lord has helped us.' I did not get anywhere without God's help. I would not be speaking to you without God's help. He sends people in your life and during certain seasons to assist you, whether it be to teach you something, good or bad, that may push you along the way. And as I have shared before on this show, if it had not been for my good friend Coco Melvin, God rest her soul, Elder Ernest Richards, who was recently on my show, and Savon DeGaskew from Channel 5, I would not even be coming to you on this broadcast. I also want to give a shout-out to my girlfriend, Connie Johnson, who gave me a chance in 2012 to be a part of her show on Taking Back Our Community on 88.5 FM, where I learned a lot about in-studio technology and research and how to have a productive and successful broadcast. So I want to give a shout out to all of them for, but first and foremost, I got to thank God because he put it in me. He put it in me to move forward even when I was afraid and didn't think I knew how to do a show and how to reach anybody and how to, you know, have guests on the show. He gave me the wherewithal. And the experience has been a trial and error. But at the same token, I have been blessed by so many people that have shared their stories, shared their testimonies, and their lives, not just with me, but with you all. It says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I did not preach the good news." Well, I started this show before I got ordained, and I was compelled by God. This is a part of my ministry, Diamonds in the Rough, to do this particular platform. And compel means force or oblige someone to do something. Force, pressure, press, push, urge. It's a sense of duty. to bring about something by the use of force or pressure, to drive someone or something to do something. And so in any case, I have been driven to continue this show when everything in my mind that made logical sense to me said don't continue. And so I want to not just say, hey, Cherie, I give you kudos for even trying. And I have to give that, you know, love to myself because, you know, it's not easy putting yourself out there in the public eye because you're always going to be scrutinized for one reason or another, good or bad. So you have to move forward. And I'm so glad that I'm delivered from people so that I can move on and press forward in what God gave to me and what he has entrusted in me to do, regardless of what anyone thinks or what anyone says. And so I do want to go on because we're talking about anniversaries, and anniversaries is basically a date on which an event took place in a previous year. The annual reoccurring of a date of a past event or a personal or historical importance, a wedding anniversary, the day you stopped doing something that wasn't good for you, the day you started something good that was good for you. For me, it's been 13 and a half years since I smoked weed. I don't miss it. When I dibbled and dabbled in cocaine and was on spiraling downward after I lost everything that I owned in the year 2000, I stopped drinking 12 years and 2 months, actually. And I've been celibate for 12 and a half years by the grace of God because I know that it was not my strength alone. And so we are commemorating milestones on today. And so my first guest, who I'm going to have on, she's just celebrated another wedding anniversary with her and her husband. She also, I met her because we both are part of the McDonald's Gospel Choir. I met her a couple of years ago. She does, she sings, she does comedy. And so you're going to get a chance to talk to her, to listen to her. On the subject of love, 1 Peter 4:8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Now, that's one thing I got in my spirit when I came back to Christ and rededicated myself after going through hell, putting myself through in situations and just, you know, wallowing in sin, was love covers a multitude of sins. And I wanted more so to learn how to love me so that I would be able to love somebody else. And in that process, I knew that if I could just show love, and if I could show love to myself, that would cover a whole bunch of mess that I didn't get. And so that's one thing that clicked in my mind. And so we are all still working on that. And if you want to read up on more on what love actually is, you can go to 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. My last scripture on marriage, it says, for husbands, coming out of Ephesians 5:25, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her, the church, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Let me give you one more. Genesis 2:24. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united in one. So at that point, when you decide that you want to make that move and that commitment, God brings you together as you are equally yoked. And this is piggybacking off of some of the shows that I've had on relationships this year and making dreams come true. If that is a dream for you, you know, you have to delve into the word. It's not just about sex. It's not just about money. But it's a spiritual commitment that you are making with each other. So you need to take that seriously. And so I want to, before I go on too much, I just want to let you know, check out my website. If you would like to contribute and give to Diamonds in the Rough, you can do so. That information is up on the show page. You can go to my website. The information is there. You can buy my books, and you can purchase those books through me. There are several ways of doing it through the social media sites. And support a sister. These are black books. geared towards children who have suffered from low self-esteem, depression, suicide, homelessness, foster care, etc. So at this time, I'm going to go and play a little bit of Tony, Tony, Tone. It's our anniversary, and then I'm going to have my first caller on. That was Tony, Tony, Tone. It's our anniversary. We are celebrating 8 years of me doing Diamonds in the Rough, Talk to Me Media, and I am going to plug in my first caller. Hello?
Hello, hello. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm blessed to be alive.
Yes, 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 girl. I know that's right. And I just was given just a little bit about you, but tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
I'm Bernadette Barnes. I'm a singer, songwriter, producer, a mom, a wife, a student, a child of God. you know, I'm all those things, and I'm grateful to be all those things. And I'm on my way to a gig right now, and I have two gigs, and I'm driving in New York City. I'm just always on the go, on the hustle, and I just love what I do.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's just so funny, you know, we sat together at rehearsal a couple years ago for the McDonald's Gospel Fest, and something about you just piqued my interest, and we became acquainted very briefly for a while at that time. But in any case, I know that you have been making some great accomplishments. Your husband has his own TV show now, doing comedy and things of that nature. So elaborate a little bit on, you know, you and him, because you're both creative and you're both artistic.
Yes, we have a showcase that we do in Harlem at Savannah once a month, every third Friday of the month, and it's called Late Night with the Barneses. He's the host, and of course I sing, and I have sometimes my band come out, and we have, you know, up-and-coming artists come out, and we give other people a platform, and we do that once a month at Savannah in Harlem. And yeah, my husband, he does comedy. I sing, and we also have our own podcast called Late Night with the Barneses. And
yes,
we're just on the go. And I put out my EP last year called The Bernadette Show, and it's available on all digital platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Tidal. So yeah, you can listen to my music on iHeartRadio as well. So, yeah, and then
okay, wonderful, wonderful. And so people that have, you know, you just heard that information, please go out and support if you're in the New York City area. When you got together with your husband, was that like a criteria for you that he be just as artistic as you are? Was it something of importance, or did it just happen that way?
Well, we met at school. My husband, we met at a 2-year conservatory, and that's how we got together. And God put it on our heart to start a production company called As One Entertainment, and we've been going, you know, ever since. Yeah, ever since then.
So really, you didn't know that he had, you know, a lot of artistic abilities, what they were at that time, or, you know, it just kind of, like, happened that way.
Originally we were actors, and then I guess as we, like, you know, grew up and got older, we had other dreams that we wanted to fulfill, you know, the production side, the background side of it, and you know, we went to acting school, but right now my thing is I'm pursuing music. You know, things change, career paths change, and he's doing stand-up,
right.
And, you know, yeah, things just
and
change,
so how,
you know.
How many years have y'all been together? How many years have you celebrated? Because I know you just had an anniversary, what, in February?
Yeah, we've been together total 13 years. We've been married for 10. Yeah, we've been married for 10. We got married on Valentine's Day.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And so what makes you, what to you, what is the glue between holding you two together? And as you said, dreams change. People change. You get different aspirations as you grow older. And so instead of growing apart, how do you grow together?
I don't want to be corny, but definitely, you know, God, we pray together and we definitely laugh. You know, he's my best friend. Like, we were friends first before we, you know, got together. You know, we really laugh and, yeah, we really laugh and really enjoy each other's company. You know, I feel like people take themselves too seriously. Enjoy life and, you know, laugh and, you know, enjoy life and go out and definitely keep the spark going, you know, definitely change it up a little bit. And, you know, that's how, you know,
right.
you can be successful in a relationship, a marriage.
And you said some key points there. You mentioned friendship first.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you enjoy each other's company, number one. And
yeah.
you mentioned that you pray together.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, such a critical piece in committing to someone is praying together. Praying
mm-hmm.
together and worshiping God together. That right there is like the cornerstone of the whole entire relationship, because nowadays, you know, you don't see a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, and so what are you feeling when you look back over the years? You know, what are some of the greatest times that you've had?
In a marriage or just in general?
With him. And, you know, as far as, you know, being married with him.
I just enjoyed us. Well, we have kids now, so I miss the up and go part. You know, we used to up and go.
Right.
And just go out to, you know, dinner and go to the movies. Now we have to, you know, plan a babysitter, or sometimes the kids have to tag along. So that part I miss. But at the same time, when we first got married, we didn't have no money, so we were broke. So it has its ups and downs. We have a little bit of money now, but back then when we didn't have any kids, we were just, you know, going to McDonald's or something.
Right.
But now, you know, as we got older, you know, we can afford a little bit, you know, places different. So it has its, you know,
right.
It's
right.
Pros and its cons.
What,
so.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, when you're, you know, in that honeymoon phase, you know, everything is wonderful. It doesn't matter if you have money or not, you know.
Right,
you're going
exactly.
through that phase. And so everything is wonderful until reality sets in.
Right, exactly.
And so do you think being business partners has strengthened your relationship, or do you think it has weakened your relationship?
I think it strengthens our relationship because we're definitely different. We have different personalities, and so we balance each other. I'm more of a risk taker. I'm a risk taker, and my husband, he's like the balance. Like, hold up, let's definitely, you know, check this out. And I'm like, no, we have to go in. It's all or nothing. So
right.
we balance each other out. As far as the business side, like, you know, yeah, I'm more of a risk taker. Let's jump. And he's like, hold up, let's make sure we have a parachute, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
So, yeah, we definitely
balance. Yeah, so, and that's great because I think that opposites, you know, attract and that you need somebody. If you are more of a big spender and the other person is a big spender, I mean, you know, you have to consider whether or not it is frugal to do what you
yeah.
do. And then if you got people that's too stiff and tight and cheap that don't want to do nothing, it's like, you know, you're not living. You're not, you know, so you do need that balance, I believe.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing for you to, you know, have experience in something that you guys do. So what advice would you give to you know, couples that are about to make that move and about to make that commitment, what would you say to them?
As far as business, I would say go for it. You have to know each other first, and I would say go for it, but at the same time, know when to give that person space. Like, you know, we give each other space, so we'll tell each other, like, hey, I just need a moment. To just process, especially
right.
me. I like to process my thoughts and, like, you know, I think you can be successful, but sometimes you have to respect that person's space, their thoughts, and, like, hey, give me a moment to, you know,
right.
to process.
Right.
So I believe it can be done successfully.
Absolutely. Without anyone getting offended, you're just telling them, hey, I know who I am and this is what I need at this particular moment for myself.
Yeah.
And so do you feel in being married that you lose a sense of who you are as an individual or does it enhance you?
I wouldn't say marriage. I know, to be honest, I felt that way as a mother in the beginning because the first seven years I was at home, I was a stay-at-home mom. So sometimes I felt like I was losing my identity as a mother. But then, you know, my kids are in school now and, you know, I'm working and I'm pursuing my singing. I don't feel that way anymore. Not to say that all stay-at-home moms feel that way. It was just me, you know.
Right.
I just felt like I was starting to lose my identity.
Right.
Yeah, I
think for the type of woman that I am, because I'm always thinking about business, ministry, how can I make something better, always trying to work on something. I think for me, yes, that would be an issue because sitting at home, and not to say that can't be a nice thing for some people, but I know for this type of woman, I would definitely feel like I was losing a sense of who I am.
It's not for everybody.
And I was just talking to my girlfriend about this. I said, I don't think I would be able to make it if I had to do that, you know. But, you know, everybody has their own, you know, what they need and what they can deal with. And at the same time, you know, you have two beautiful kids. By the way, your family is beautiful.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that. Yes. You're welcome. And because we're going to run out of time, I just wanted to ask, you know, as far as your singing, do you have any events coming up soon that you want to share really quickly before we get off the interview?
Yes, I have an event at the Groove. It's on McDougal Street. It's April 30th at 7:30. I'll be there with my band. You can also check me out on my website, BernadetteBarnes.com, and all my events are up there as well. And you can follow me at Sing Bernadette everywhere on, you know, Facebook, Instagram and all the Twitter as well. So.
And I would ask you to sing, because anybody that can sing that Grace Is My Show, I definitely ask them to sing a little something. But I know you're driving. I know you got the kids in the car.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that's going to save you.
I can sing. I'm a poor. I'll sing a little of a song that I wrote actually to my husband. It's called Natural High.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote it a couple of years ago. So, the love we made, it takes me on a natural high, natural high. The love we made, it takes me on a natural high, natural high.
Okay. All right. Beautiful. I love that sound. I hadn't heard
you
sing solo before. We were always singing background with the choir. Wow. Wonderful. Well, Bernadette, I wish you the best on all your endeavors. And
Thank you.
Please put your information up on my page. Just tag me so I can post it. And hopefully I will be seeing you next year for the McDonald's Gospel Fest. It looks like I'm going to be missing, involvement again this year. In any case, you have a great day, and thank you so much for
having me.
The show. All right.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Bernadette Barnes of New York City. Check out all of her information. You can go back and listen to the show once the show is done. Give it about 10 minutes and then listen to it again. Support her. And she does have a show coming up on April 30th that you would be able to go to. Another reminder to go and buy my books. I have 12 paperback books that are available and 4 ebooks. Also, if you'd like to support Diamonds in the Rough and help me to help these kids and to be able to put the ninth Star Is Born talent show on this year, I need your help. I need your financial help. I'm dead serious about that. And proceeds would definitely go to the actual talent show. This is our ninth one. Carolyn Smith won 2 years ago, and I definitely want this young lady to get the opportunity to have her platform again and to pass the diamond along. The show was scheduled for July 14th. I'm not sure if that's going to have to change. God willing, it won't. But if it does, I'll keep you posted. But I do need to let people know if they want to audition, contact me, 203-952-9807, kids 8 to 21 years old, who are gifted in the area of the performing arts. This is a stepping stone. If you have a manager already and assigned, no, I'm not speaking to you. This is for kids that are coming out the gate that are seeking that platform for their talent. So please do that. And up next, we're going to have Derek Lee, a.k.a. Capone, the gangster of comedy. I just want to thank all the people who have come on so far in the past couple of months: Keisha Rainey, Doobie Powell, Gerald Kelly, Stacey Ladislaw, Glenn Jones, and all of the other people who have graced this show. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of my ministry and what I am doing with this particular radio show. I'm going to play a little bit of Kelly Price, He Proposed. February the 14th,
Baby took me to a special place. Said he had a surprise for me. He told me to close my eyes so that I could not see. When I opened them up, he was on one knee, reaching for my hand.
He proposed to me. He proposed with the diamond ring.
I started crying.
There you have it. That was He Proposed by Kelly Price. We are talking about celebrating anniversaries, milestones in your life. This is Talk to Me Radio, and you are listening to Sheree Humphrey. This is 8 years of doing Talk to Me Radio, and I just want to thank everybody once again for tuning in. I am waiting to get Capone on the line. And in the meantime, I am going to begin reading his bio, and hopefully he will be calling in before that is done. Okay, it says that this American humor of ours, call it comedy, call it jokes, call it what you will, gives each and every one of us a great stress relief if only we seize it with both hands and choke the crap out of it. That is the gangster of comedy, Capone himself, his quote. I'm going to try to get through this whole entire thing. It's pretty long. this American system of ours, call it Americanism, call it capitalism, call it what you will, gives each and every one of us a great opportunity if we seize it with both hands and make it the most of it. That is gangster Al Capone. So many of you may know the story of him. History has a funny way of repeating itself. Take the Windy City of Chicago circa the 1820s when a self-proclaimed Brooklyn Street politician named Al Capone revolutionized the crime world with his hustling antics. Nearly 70 years later, the Bronx is introduced to Derrick Lee, another hustler who trades in his ruggish, thuggish ways to become a successful entrepreneur and later metamorphosize the world of comedy as Capone, the gangster of comedy. While both Capone's lives slightly parallel each other, our beloved comedian's life is not tragic, but inspirational. Unlike Chi-Town's original crime lord, Capone, the comedian didn't ignore the warning signs that he needed to cease the hustle. His first and last sign came in 1991 after receiving a 9-month sentence. It was then that the soon-to-be notorious funny man knew the street life wasn't his calling. Jail was a blessing for me, recalls the 28-year-old comedian of his spiraling street career. At the rate I was going, I'd either be spending a whole lot of time there or end up dead. With a second chance, Capone left the street life and became a home attendant for the mentally challenged. It may seem a little far-fetched that I chose a Samaritan job, but I always been interested in helping people, especially those who can't do for themselves. Although his salary was a far cry from previous income, he valued his freedom enough to stay on a legitimate path and supplemented his wages by moonlighting as a barber on the weekends. It was at his second job that he began to hone his comedic skills, by engaging in intense snap sessions with coworkers. I was cracking jokes on the customers or my coworkers, so the barbershop served as sort of a comedy haven for me. It wasn't until 1992 when a promoter friend of Capone's challenged him to take his innate talent off the streets into the stage that his comedy career was launched. My first show was at Columbia University, says the 8-year comedic veteran of meager beginnings, and who credits his late mother for his comedic sense. I won the amateur contest and I was invited to perform with the heavy hitters, performing with professionals such as Tracy Morgan, Saturday Night Live, Talent, YKLF Jeans, 1998, The Carnival, Michael Epps, Next Friday, opened up many doors for the boisterous budding comedian. He immediately ditched his day job, and after he had saved his earnings to open his first barbershop 6 years ago, it was one of my dreams to have my own barbershop and work for myself. Today, the notorious funny man is also the CEO of DDL Enterprises and owns 3 businesses in the Bronx, a barbershop, a beauty shop, and a computer store. In addition to his acute business savvy, Capone's ability to adapt to any audience has made him a mainstay in the comedy arena. He's performed at a slew of comedy clubs in New York's Caroline Comedy Club, Uptown Comedy Club, Boston Comedy Club, and tons of universities. It is this same universal comic flair that has helped Capone nabbed his gig as the host of Harlem's legendary amateur night at the Apollo. My jokes are personal, relationships, children, society, work, ethnicity, admits Capone, who always hosts the majority of Apollo's scheduled concerts. I transform it into a comedic vision. So we're going to read on, and hopefully he's called in by now and holding on the line. And I'm going to continue reading. Luckily for the humorist, the gangster of comedy and his silly comrades had an even bigger vision to unite. The Big Apple's top 5 comedies, comedians Capone, Talent, Gerald Kelly, who I've had on my show, Drew Frazier, and Rob Stapleton, for a New York Kings of Comedy tour, We decided to put his show together about a year ago, but it was difficult with everyone's conflicting schedules. But when we finally came together, I went straight to Apollo and made it happen. The Royal Fam is such a hot commodity that the show sold out in less than a week, and a second show had to be added. We've gotten an overwhelming response, and I'm hoping the show will travel soon. So I do know he has a show he's doing at the Apollo coming up soon. As if he hasn't already inundated with enough projects, Capone has also done album skits for one of the Rough Riders, K9's Drag On solo debut opposite of H2O, and is currently completing his own debut, My Life Was No Joke, a clever fusion of comedy, rhythm and blues, and rap due out this July. Capone, who is also remembered for his unique style of dress, is also planning to launch his own clothing line in the near future. With such a hefty plate, it's hard to imagine what Capone will most be remembered for, his contribution to the history of comedy or his flourishing businesses. I want to be remembered as the comedian who handled things his way, says Capone, who always manages to be a doting father despite his dual career. And as far as my personal contribution, I like to touch the lives of people who did not believe in themselves. Everybody has problems that they sometimes can't control. But after the dark tunnel, there's always light. And it's just how long you're willing to walk that path. And so that is Capone, and so I'm still holding to see if he'll if he's calling in, if he hasn't forgotten. But in the interim, I just want to say that yes, everybody has spots and rough patches in their life, and if you could just help one person, you don't have to help the world. You can just touch one life. You have done a lot already, and so that's what this show is about. That's what Diamonds in the Rough. Starting it is about, it's about winning souls to Christ. It's about reaching people and pulling them up and giving them the support. Originally starting off, you know, trying to help children in the area of the arts, it has branched into so much more than that. And I definitely can't do it all by myself. I need help. I need people to reach in and, you know, to their hearts and say, you know, I can do this and I can do that. I can volunteer. Because it takes everybody to uplift and to push someone in the right direction. You just never know. You might be saving the next great prophet. You might be saving the next person that's going to be the president or a world leader or changer. So in that sense, I want to go to another break and give him some more time to call in.
Tomorrow, yeah.
So there you have it. That was It's Our Anniversary once again. You are listening to Talk to Me Radio. This is Cherie Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough. Who do I have on the line? Is this Capone?
Yeah, y'all interrupted my goddamn podcast, so I hope y'all got a lot to talk about.
Well, I done did about 5 to 10 minutes of talking, reading your bio.
My goddamn agent is blowing me up. Get on the phone with them. Get on the phone. So here I am. Let's go.
All right. Wonderful, Capone. I just wanted to thank you so much for taking the time out. In any case, we're talking about celebrating anniversaries and milestones. And I know you have had done some great things. You did the Kings of Comedy. You have the Apollo coming up. Can you just tell us a little bit more?
Well, it's called the New York Kings Comedy Tour for reasons of not being litigated. We started off with back in the days, a couple of guys who are no longer there. So the original guys are left are three of us, which is me, Talent, Rob Stapleton, and the new member is Mark Vieira. And so it's a great feeling, man. You know, all I can say is, because they texted me, I'm sorry, I'm trying to answer a text and talk at the same time.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, so, all right, let me pay attention to you. I told them to leave me alone. being in this industry, you know, you can really, really, it can become a situation where hopes and dreams come true, and those hopes and dreams are made by other people to select you for whatever it is that they think that they have a place for you, or you can create your own avenues. I got tired of waiting for hopes and dreams from somebody who is not as talented than me and don't really know talent, but going to make the decision on whether I can be in a movie or whether I should be at this show. And so I created my own avenues. And once I created my own avenues, I reached back out to the guys, and they felt the same way. And that was the creation of the New York Kings.
Okay.
So
okay, wonderful.
That's what that tour was all about.
And you know what? You're so right. I totally agree with what you're saying. And I commend you on all the successes. And you came from a humble beginning, kind of like familiarizing, you know, with Al Capone. And you said it was a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, being in jail. And I can relate to that. I mean, I was locked up 6 times. I've been in the penitentiary. I had a rough life. I come up with, you know, the alcohol, the drugs, you know, the fighting and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes our lives are a, you know, people look at us and they see the outcome of everything that has happened, but don't know what you had to go through to get there. And for some young guys that are listening right now that are in that spot where you used to be, at the age of 28, what would you say to them to get them out of their spiraling down? What would you say to them to help that?
I couldn't talk to a person that wouldn't listen. That's number one. Decisions are made throughout experiences. And my experience might be a lot different. A lot of times you always hear people say, well, you know, you've been through this. You know, what you would have to say to the next person. There's one thing that you have a conscious mind of. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Now, I'm going to say that, and the reason I'm saying this and it's so powerful to me, because when I was a drug dealer, everybody saw that it's wrong. It's wrong to sell drugs. It's wrong to do this. But now that drugs are legal, marijuana is legal now in certain states. How wrong was I? So how can I tell somebody and give somebody advice when the laws at the time was supposed to be so wrong? But now that they can make a financial gain from it, it's not wrong anymore.
Oh, yeah. Once they can capitalize on it, it's all good.
Exactly.
And that's what it's about, you know?
Exactly. So, but I was judged so badly when I was doing it back in the days. Oh, he ain't this, and he's that, and he's killing his people and all of that. But now they legalize it, and it's a great thing now. It's everybody's happy. They're building all kinds of billion-dollar empires about it. But I actually went to jail for something that's legal now. And there are many people who are still in jail for something that's legal. Yeah, they got the hard drugs, and you got whatever the situation is. So only thing that I can tell somebody who is doing it is make sure you know what you're doing. I can't tell you to stop because I don't know what your financial situation is. I can't tell you that illegal is wrong because, and I'm going to get a little deep on this because you asked me, there was a time that slavery was legal. Does that make it right?
No, it doesn't. Yep.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I feel you on that. That is so true. That's why there has to be somebody that is strong enough, that is bold enough to stand out in the front and to speak against certain things because, you know, if not, then there's not going to be no change. It took somebody, it took many people, but it took that one person to stand out and say, I'm going to be the leader of this movement to make a change. Other than that, there's not going to be one.
You can't have a leader when you have the mindset of divide and conquer. I just want to say this, and I don't like preaching. That's one thing I don't do. I speak, and I speak from my heart. We've been slaves longer than we've been free. I'm going to say it again. We've been slaves longer than we've been free. So our mindset of what freedom is all about, we really don't know. We can't be taught something that we've been inherited to believe. And the pure fact is divide and conquer. They divide us and they conquer. We're the only nation that don't stick together. I mean, you look at Kaepernick, who went down for police brutality. He didn't go down for no flag. He didn't go down for no pledge allegiance. If you listen to the song is glorifying them killing slaves. And people still, till this day, don't believe. I don't know if I can curse, I'm sorry. But most of the people whatever. You know, I'm going to watch my football. So how can we ever take a stand for something when you can't even put yourself into a position to not watch football for a year until they give us something that we, you know. So
absolutely.
And I know I'm
crabs in the barrel.
Yes.
I have a poem, Crabs in the Barrel. And, you know, it's the truth. You know, we got to get out of that Manichean mind slave mentality, because to see the whole bigger picture and what's to come in the future, not just the immediate gratification of something. And like you said, you got to have the willpower, and you know, you have the willpower to change your life. And you know, it may have been a barbershop, you didn't know what was going to happen. You was at that barbershop and you was cutting hair, and you know, here comes that opportunity because you were ready, you know, and God and God trusted you with that this great platform that you have, not just to be local, but to be nationwide. And so, you know, everybody has their role in life. And, you know, you there, you got your podcast or whatever you want to call it to teach these, you know, people and to teach these young brothers. So that's a great thing. That's a start, you know.
Well, like I said, you know, from the beginning when you asked me that question, the message is always there, but it's a choice to listen, and a lot of people just don't hear it, and that's where the problem comes in. We're the only people that we don't unite, and it's not just black people, it's Latin people, it's, you know, they put us in these positions, and unfortunately, we don't educate ourselves enough to know what's really going on. And as long as we keep falling into the barrels, that's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to keep falling out.
Yep, and that's why we got to learn to celebrate ourselves. Nobody celebrate you, you celebrate you. But I'm celebrating you, and I'm saying, you know, you've done such a great job. I've seen you. I've watched you over the years, and it's a true honor for me. This is my anniversary today for 8 years of being on my show. And so I just want to thank you,
I appreciate that.
So what are you celebrating before we get off the line? Thank you. Thank you.
I'm celebrating reinvent me. I'm celebrating the ability to understand. I'm celebrating, even right now, your celebration. I'm honored that you chose me to be on your show for your anniversary of 8 years. A lot of people take certain things for granted, but you could have got a million people, but you chose me, so I celebrate that. I'm a very humble man, and I've like you said, I've been through a lot, I've seen a lot, I've witnessed a lot, but the thing is that what do you acknowledge from it? What do you gain from it? What motivates you from it? And so that's my celebration, to be able to comprehend and still be able to motivate myself to move further and not be stagnated into the positions that, you know, because you can be put into a position to where you can't grow. And it's all on you to make that difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And would you believe, Capone, last year I wrote 6 or 7 books while homeless in my car. And see, so this is the thing that people don't understand. You got to learn how to celebrate you, encourage yourself, and push, and with God's strength, continue on, because you believed in you.
Right.
You was able to tell them jokes, and you were able to, you know, you said, I believe in myself. I'm going to do this. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's what I'm doing right now. My biggest, out of my whole career right now, is my biggest thing on May 11th. Two things. It's an emotional event. I'll be at the Apollo. I've been hosting the Apollo for 18 years now. And this is my second one-man show. Now, when I did my first one-man show, of course, I knew all my material. I've been practicing that for years. But this show, I'm writing all new stuff. And the show is dedicated to my mother. So a lot of personal stuff that I went through in my life is going to come out. And I think that this is going to make me, even if it's not for anybody else to see the greatness in me, I will see it in myself. And that's what really matters right now, is to be able to put yourself.
Oh, I wish I could be there. I wish I could be there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I did the Apollo 2 times. I performed there, but not on the capacity that you're doing it. And I know it's going to be special for you. So,
yes, it is.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
So everybody, go out, get the tickets for Capone. He's going to be there. What's the date again?
May 11th, Mother's Day weekend.
All right. All new material. Okay. Thank you so much, sir, for calling in. I truly appreciate you taking out the time. All right. You have
Thank
a blessed
you.
Day.
Can I give out my IG?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
All right. If y'all want to follow me, go to Comedian Capone on Instagram or Twitter. Thank y'all, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
All right. Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye. Thank
bye-bye.
You.
All right. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was Capone, the gangster of comedy. He will be appearing at the Apollo on May 11th, Mother's Day weekend. Make sure you go out and get your tickets. Please share this show with someone. And I am going to play my new introduction to take you out on today, as we are not streaming anymore, but you can, it's still recording. And I hope you like this compilation. I tried to do it. I just learned for the first time how to mix some music together. Using this technology. So in any case, here we go. Thank you so much for tuning in to Talk to Me Radio, and God bless.